Amen. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Amen?
Amen.
Christmas, the birth of Jesus, was not a plan B. God already had a plan long before. Amen?
Amen?
A plan of restoration from the beginning of time. His plan from creation to Christmas to Calvary is God's answer to the problem of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. We're excited about Christmas. That gets us to the next step, to the next step, to the reason why. Because there's Christmas, there's a cross, and there's salvation for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's plan of redemption was not just to rescue us from the punishment of sin, but also to release us from the controlling power of sin while we're here.
Amen.
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 God's promise to you today is that same Jesus, born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again the third day, who is in heaven at the right hand of God Almighty, is able to bring us freedom and redemption in our lives today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask for your presence to be just abounding in this place. God of hope, fill us up today with peace and joy and believing, hallelujah, the account. Bless us, we pray, with your presence, with your spirit, and with encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This morning, the choir is going to minister to you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Is a new creation coming?
Yes.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
Yes.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Conquered the grave.
the Father truly loves us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Oh, hallelujah. Is anyone worthy?
Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquers the grave, he is dealing with truth.
See you. Luke 2:8-14, and they were in the same country. Shepherds abide in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, heaven was praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to all men.
When the angels went away from them back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which happened, which the Lord has told us. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they have heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them.
Oh, before a baby's cry was heard in the town of Bethlehem, God had a plan. A plan to redeem his people who had gone astray.
For centuries, God's people had made sacrifices to cover their sin and stay in fellowship with God. But no matter how hard they tried, their sacrifices could never take their sins away.
Because of our sins, we couldn't get to God. So God would come to us.
Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Yes, God would provide a spotless lamb. He would send his perfect, righteous son to take away the sins of the world.
It was a precious gift that we could never buy with money. A savior, a spotless lamb, an only son.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
The Lamb of God invading our world in the gentlest of ways as a child in a lowly manger. Yes, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man.
He humbled himself and came as a helpless child. He placed himself in the care of young, inexperienced, imperfect parents, a man and woman whom he himself had fashioned with his own two hands.
In the city of David, a Savior has been born to us. He is the Messiah, the Lord, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
The King of creation loved us so much that he humbled himself and became a man.
His coming was foretold through generations. And when the day finally came for the Messiah to be born, even the stars would celebrate his birth.
So all of the world would hear the good news. God prepared witness, wise men from across the desert sands, and lowly shepherds in the hills of Bethlehem would have privilege to seeing God's long-awaited promise fulfilled.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Yes, the angels who invited the shepherds to come see the child proclaimed peace and goodwill towards men. But the birth of Jesus was only the first step in God's plan for salvation.
The tiny baby that Mary held in her arms would grow in wisdom and in grace of the Lord. And Mary and her husband Joseph watched as Jesus became a man, and all too soon, he left home to begin his ministry.
See, Jesus' birth was just the beginning of God's plan to bring us back to him. Sin had carved a deep chasm between us and a perfect God, and it would take a perfect sacrifice to span that chasm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Jesus came to us as a child, but his mission was to teach us how to serve and worship his Father and to fulfill God's promise to provide himself a lamb on the cross.
Jesus is the bridge God built to bring us back into perfect fellowship with him. In Jesus, we are justified by grace.
We are justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
This year, let's celebrate Christmas with joy and reverence, knowing God's plan to redeem all of mankind for their sins, and that it all started with a baby's cry in a little town called Bethlehem.
Yes, God had a plan, and his name is Jesus, the promised King, a Messiah who would take away the sins of the world.
Christ is born today. Glory to God in the highest.
If you're here in this place and you've yet to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, He's here in this place. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. If you have yet to ask Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, today is your day. Today is your day. He's here. Just open your heart. Open your heart and give Him what's in it. Father, I have been a sinner, and I have messed up, and I know that I need your help to walk through this life and to live right and to make have a purpose, and I know you have a plan. So today, Father God, I just humble myself before you, and I ask that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse every sin, that I would be new today because of your sacrifice, because of your death on the cross, your resurrection, and that you are interceding for me right now on the right hand of God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I believe, Lord, that you have taken away my sin. You have healed me. You have washed me clean by your blood, by your sacrifice. And today and from this day forward, I will live for you. I will live for you because you're worthy. I need you. I need you, Lord. If today is the day that you've done that for the first time, please tell someone around you. Please tell someone around you. God is good. God is good. He's our Savior and our Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
I'd like you to stand. And let's sing with the choir, "O Come Let Us Adore Him." Amen. Let's praise Him this morning.
O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord.
Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. You're worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And let's give the choir a big hand this morning. Didn't they do a good job? Good job. Okay. So, if this is your first time with us, we would like to communicate with you and give you a guest card, and we fill that out, and then we have a special gift for you. You know, this is the time of giving. Amen? Amen? And we'd like to do that. So, I have some cards, so I see some people that I don't recognize, so maybe Jake, can you hand these out? And I think this is your family.
Yes.
Can you introduce them?
Yes. This is my in-laws, Clark and Kelly Skinner, traveling all the way from south of Boise. You guys remember what that means? And then my brother-in-law, Jacob, and his wife, Cassandra, and his kids, Hunter and Sadie. And that's everybody that's new. You guys know our sister-in-law, Lauren. She's been coming for a while. That's it.
Thank you. Okay. Well, get those cards, fill them out, and slip them in the box in the back, and then come see me, and I will give you a gift, okay? Okay. Pastor.
Good morning. A couple things. We're keeping the kids here. And so, boys and girls, you get to stay with mom and dad. Isn't that exciting? Say yay. Say yay with me, eh? Yay. All right. I'm not sure what to have the parents say, but nevertheless, I think that's a wonderful thing to have our children. Well, that was wonderful. Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Wow, I should have joined the choir. I was enjoying singing. I had a great time. That was really, really good. Merry Christmas. It really is a wonderful time. It's just a great time. We rejoice. I was telling my car, not everybody in my car, but I won't tell you who was in my car, but everybody there coming to church. I was telling them how it was when I was a little boy. And I'd go in the mornings in Western Washington to church, and wow, it was amazing. Usually it'd be frozen, limbs were frozen, ice on the mud puddles, everything's frozen, but I loved it because the sun was coming out just like today. And it just reminded me of being a little boy going to church. And good to have you today, it really is. Praise the Lord. So I don't know whether you would like to use your Bibles or not. I have several things that I want to say to you. I'll kind of be like a rock, just kind of skipping in the water here. And so, if you would like, I think I would like to ask you to go to the third chapter of John, and that's where I'll conclude this morning. And so, praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you are having dinner today, or tonight, or tomorrow. But I would wager to say that probably most of you are going to have a dinner at least once or twice in the next 48 hours, and I would imagine. I love this. It isn't new to me. It's something that I had seen some time ago, and anyway, I've used it before. But I thought, how perfect for this morning. A wife invited some family to dinner. Does that sound about right? And at the table, she turned to the six-year-old, and she said, "Sweetheart, would you say the blessing for mommy?" The little girl looked back at her mother, and she says, "Mommy, I don't know what to say." And the little girl replied, "Just say what you've heard your mommy say." So the little girl bowed her head, and she said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all of these people for dinner?" And I thought, oh. So, anybody identify with that this morning? Anybody brave enough to say yes? I didn't think you would be. I came across this some years ago, and I thought how good this was. And so I wanted to use it just part of a takeoff this morning for a few moments. It's entitled Moving Too Fast. And it says, "Did you hear about this lady? In the rush in the last minutes of Christmas shopping, she went into the store and she bought 50 identical Christmas cards. And without bothering to read even a verse inside, she took them and as fast as she could, she addressed the envelopes, didn't say anything other than a few little thoughts here and there, and she took it and closed them up and she sent them off. Several days later, she thought to herself, I think I'll take more time and just read how beautiful those cards was. So she picked up one of the cards that was still left, and she opened the card up, And inside, it came across, and she saw something that startled her. Horrified, she read at the bottom of the card that said this: "This card is just to say to all my friends and family, a little gift is soon to be on the way to you." I thought, oh my, have you ever done that before? And you're wondering how many are going to expect a card when they come to your house, huh? Amen. I was thinking, what could I say this morning? And, you know, everywhere I go right now, the theme is Christmas. Some, I think, have missed the mark a little bit. Depends on how red maybe the noses are or maybe how big the antlers are, whatever. My point is just simply, everywhere we go, there's a Christmas theme. And what I would like to do for a few minutes is just give you my idea of this theme today. And so if you would, and if you would join me, I would pray that this theme would be yours. I'm not asking you to turn to various passages because I don't have time to read a lot, but I will read them to you. And so, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about three births. Birth, B-I-R-T-H. I'd like to just address three births to you because I think that all three of these births have to do with this morning, and they really identify with Christmas morning. And by the way, did I, in my thanking you to be here, did I tell you how excited it is to have you here until 11 o'clock? Did I tell you that? Trust me, amen? I was thinking about the nature of three births. First of all, there's the natural birth. In 1953, in November, I was delivered in Panama City, Florida by, I believe it was an Air Force captain. My father was in the Air Force at Tyndall Air Force Base. That's the first, I can't remember anything, but that's the first my family can remember of me. And it was a natural birth. What a miracle. I was thinking about the idea of natural birth, and I came across this, and it says, not only do you have a reason for your life on this planet, but you also have a very unique and valuable part as a person. You are precise, an individual, tailor-made by the great designer. You are God's special creation. How many believe that? You are. I am. Before you were formed in the womb, the Bible tells us that God was already involved in the shaping of your life. Here is what the Bible says, and I quote, "You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being imperfect. And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance are fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Isn't that amazing? So when I think about this morning, I have to say that you and I are not a product of random evolution. Do you believe that? Yep. Think about that. Think about how of all the billions of people on this planet, and yet you and I are the only ones that have our fingerprint. Well, I shouldn't have said you and I. I should say I am the only one with my fingerprint. Isn't that true? And I'm the only one with my DNA structure. You can take all the DNA of my body and stretch it to the sun, and it'll stretch out back and forth 93 times. That is amazing to me. And to think that we talk about how much technology and how fantastic things are in the universe today or in the world, but I'm telling you what God has already done. 93 million miles and 400 times my DNA can go back and forth from the sun to the moon or to the earth. That is a marvelous creator, and he created you and I. So when I think of the birth of man, what an amazing miracle that really is. The second birth I'd like to give you, and you might find this odd to see this in second place, but I think it's the birth of a virgin birth. And I see this, for the Bible says in Luke 2, while they were yet there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine? Jesus, the Son of the living God, creation of all, creator of all. And yet, we find him not just in a place in a stable, but find him in such a unique place that Rome was under the power of dictation and was able to bring forth all of the people together for this moment of time. I like this idea of the virgin birth because it's not a story that's a figment, it's not a fairy tale, it's real. And so this morning when I think about Jesus' life and how he began in the midst of persecution and peril, he came on a mission of love and a mission of mercy from my Father and from yours. In fact, an angel announced his conception and gave him a name. His name will be called Jesus. The heavenly host began to sing an anthem to the very celebration of his birth. And by the extraordinary, even the star that came out, and the wise men followed the star from the east, clear to Jerusalem and ultimately Bethlehem. I find in the virgin birth some of the most amazing things. In fact, in the weakness of human flesh, the Almighty Creator of the universe came to this earth. However, when God became a man in the person of Jesus, he did not cease to be God. I want you to catch this. When Jesus became a precious baby, he didn't cease to be God. Do you believe that? Although the Bible says he laid aside his power, he laid aside his royalty, he laid aside his deity, that he could identify with fallen man. That is amazing to me. He did not cease to be God, nor did he lose his divine attributes, such as omnipresence and omnipotence. He merely laid them aside for a moment. In fact, theologians call this kenosis. And this is what the word kenosis means in Greek. It means that he emptied himself and he took on himself the form of a man, that he could literally find the will of the Father to the cross and to give his life for you and I, a life of ransom. That's amazing, isn't it amazing? It is to me. I don't know if you've ever read a man by the name of Philip Keller. Philip Keller is known mainly for his sheep herding expertise. In a professional sense, he was not only a preacher, but he took care of sheep in different countries, different lands that he lived in. Philip Keller says this, and I'd like to quote his words. He says, "Birth pains had started. She was full of agony on the ground. And Joseph, inexperienced and unknowing just how, did his best to be able to reach towards his wife. His own utter tunic would become her bed. His rough saddle horn and saddle would become her pillow. Hay, straw, animal fodder, little in this country. This was not a country of hay and grain. It would become there for only her to lay in the semi-desert terrain. Mary moaned in the darkness, the sheep in shelter. And Joseph began to sweep away the dust and the dirt from a small space that somehow she might be able to find rest. He arranged a place for Mary that she could lay, that the newborn, that little bundle, the clothes now to be used, that she could use them upon her little one. And there alone, unaided, without strangers or friends, to witness her ordeal in the darkness, she delivered her son. It was an unpretentious entrance. The stage of entrance is now set for the Son of Man and the Son of God, very God in human form, to begin to fill earth's stage as the Messiah to all who dare believe." I believe this morning. How about you?
Yeah.
I don't think that was a very attractive place, nor was it a very beautiful place. Unlike probably the sterile Air Force base that I was born in 1953. I still think it's an amazing miracle and a marvelous thing that man can give birth, or women can give birth to a man child. But I have to tell you, there's nothing like the virgin birth. None. And when you think of the act of Herod to destroy, you think of the act of wise men to come miles and miles to see, I have to tell you this morning, this is why we are here in this house, is because we believe there really was a virgin birth. And no one will ever, ever dissuade us of this. The third birth that I want to tell you about, and I'll close with this one, is an interesting birth. I call it this morning a spiritual birth. And this spiritual birth is one that you and I need if we're ever going to stand in eternity. I call this, in a spiritual birth, in a spiritual sense, I call this morning a birth that brings me to a born-again experience. I won't ask you to raise your hand at this moment, but let me tell you this truthfully. You and I cannot be saved unless we're born again. I ask you to keep your Bible in John chapter 3. Let me read this to you. Our first birth is that you and I have been born by via our mother. The second birth is a tremendous birth. The whole earth decides whether they believe there was a virgin birth. I believe Jesus came and was born of a virgin. But think about this verse as it talks of being born. It says in chapter 3, verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, except a man be born of water and of spirit. And I think Jesus was saying, except a man be washed and cleansed thoroughly of his sin and sin nature, and come alive by the power of the Holy Spirit who resides in him at conversion, except these things, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and you can't tell where it has come and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I feel like this would be, I would be in remiss, even to talk alone. I could just identify this morning. I could have identified totally with the virgin birth, and there's so much more to say that I didn't even touch. But what I wanted to tell you is this morning is that, you know what? It's not good enough to be religious. It isn't good enough to just have a mindset that I think I believe God is real. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and asked him and began to talk with him about, I know you are a great teacher. And in my mind's eye, Nicodemus was saying, I really want a great teacher. I'm looking for a teacher greater than me. And you can't even go to heaven based on finding a great teacher. You and I go to heaven based on being a Savior. That's what we look for this morning, is this whole service and gathering today is that Jesus came and gave his life to be a Savior, not a teacher. He came that you and I might know him. And he gave us the instructions, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Please believe this. Please understand what I'm saying and sharing with you. Nothing can interrupt my destiny with heaven except being born again. The way that I would interrupt my life, going the direction I'm going with no hope and no Savior, is to continue on. But if I want to be alive in Christ and to know that I'm sealed for eternity, I must be found born again. So the third birth is an amazing birth. It's a spiritual birth. It's a birth that takes place when I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I confess him with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Therefore, I shall be saved. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's a spiritual birth. You see, when I was born on that Air Force base, that was not a spiritual birth. I was born, I was shapen in iniquity, I was born in sin, and I became a young man or a child to become a man. Jesus, I would never argue, that certainly was a spiritual birth, to be born of a virgin. But I want to tell you, I believe his birth was miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. There never was one like it, and there never will be one after. For he came as the Son of God, the God-child, fully God, fully man. But stop and look this way. What about us? Every person upon this planet has this choice, that they can be born again. They can accept Christ as their Savior. They can repent of their sin nature and ask Jesus to take lordship of their life. What does that mean to me? It means simply this. It means from this point on that I now will have my soul cleansed by the power of the Spirit through the blood of Jesus. I will be renewed from old nature. That means even though I have the capacity to sin, I don't want to sin. I don't want to live in sin. I want to walk righteous before God. It means I become this new creature and I'm radically changed. You know what happened to me, and I could identify to this as a teenager, is I was radically changed when I said, Jesus, I don't want to be this way, and he saved me. And that born-again experience brought to me also this amazing thing. You know what it was called? I became a new creature. Even my friends around me identified, they saw something different in me they'd never seen before. What an amazing thing. You see, this quickens my soul. Even though I was once dead in trespasses and sin, I am now quickened. And the word quickened means I'm made alive. So to come to Christ and experience this born-again birth, to where I'm born into the kingdom of God, I'm born into his salvation, I am now born out of trespasses and sin into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when I send you home today, I know I already have a huge pumpkin pie that's in my refrigerator. Does any of you have a pumpkin pie? I feel bad for you. Is that all? I don't know what you have, but if you don't have a pumpkin pie, you're not really ready for, literally, for Christmas Eve evening. I'm sending you home to have food and pies and a great day, but I'm also sending you home to remember this. That God has demonstrated in this planet three of the most tremendous births we'll ever know. And we can give great thanks. The birth that you and I were brought into this world. The birth that Jesus was taken from heaven and brought into this world by a virgin birth. And the third is this. It's the birth that my sins can be forgiven and I am born again. Wow. You know what? I couldn't wrap some of you up. You're way too big put under your tree. But we all need to wrap ourselves up if we think we could and put ourselves there just a little bit, just to say, Lord, thank you that I have been born again and I have received the joy of my salvation. Amen. Close your Bibles with me, if you will. I just want to again thank you for being here. And I want to encourage you. This last birth, you don't need a pastor to help you. You don't need even a radio to help you. All you have to do is go and walk in the South 40. All you have to do is just go and spend a few moments with Jesus alone and let him come into your heart and be Lord of life. Stand with me, will you? So we planned today that when you came here, we were going to give you a 1 hour. They were on target until I got you, and I went 4 minutes over. And I repent. I don't know how it works. But I'm going to blame it on something before I get home. I don't know what it was. But we're going to sing this last song together. Sharon's going to lead us. Could we sing Joy to the World, is it? Let's sing together.
Joy to the earth.
God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy this day today and our Christmas together tomorrow.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.